There is a dangerous practice, a dangerous tendency that's going on around us today, and I know that you have witnessed it yourself. It's a dangerous concept and dangerous things that people are doing, and that is that they're trying to categorize people. They want to put people into certain categories. And so whether you know it or not, you have been put into a category, maybe more than one category. But the idea today is that, well, you look around and everybody, well, they're that kind of person, or they're this or they're that. And so they want to put everybody into certain categories, maybe categorize individuals based upon their skin color. Maybe categorize people based upon their social status, their economic status. Maybe categorize people based upon their political affiliation, or categorize people based upon whether they're in authority or out of authority, or they don't have any authority. And everybody's just got to be in groups. The first word that I mentioned about that in describing that this morning is that's dangerous. That's a dangerous practice to get into. Nobody wants to be put into categories, and certainly we should not be putting individuals into categories. And so sometimes the words that are used are pretty simple, but they're meant to be divisive. They'll talk about, when they've put people into categories, they'll talk about us and them. And the people that they want to be in a certain category with them, and the people that they like, and the people that are, you know, that are on their side, oh, they're us. They're with us. But anybody that's in some other category, oh, that's them. They do this. They do that. And what does that us and them do? What do those two simple words do? They're divisive. They separate. They draw a line in between people. Now, I say all of that to say, when that mentality of an us and them mentality, when that gets into the church, now we're in serious danger. The us and them mentality, it's going to be out in the world because that's how the world operates under the control of the devil. But the us and them mentality should never get into the Lord's church. And so I want us today to talk about, in a very positive and in a very encouraging way, to not talk about the them in the church. I don't even know who that is. This morning we're not going to talk about the them in the church. I want us to talk about the us in the Lord's church. Because if you are a part of the church, you're not them, you're us. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've come from, it doesn't matter your background, it certainly doesn't matter your skin color, your social status, your economic status, your political affiliation, however people want to divide people today, none of that matters in the church. Because when we're in the church, we are all the us of the church. So what I want you to do today is get your Bibles out, go to the passages on the screen that was read to us today from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's all we're going to be today, is just in that one text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I really want you to get your Bible, or if you don't have one, grab the pew Bible that's there in front of you, or perhaps you're going to your handy-dandy Bible app, not your Facebook app, not your Instagram app. I know you get that confused with your Bible app sometimes, but going to our Bible app this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12 down through verse 27. And I want us to see what this text is going to tell us about the us of the church. First thing I want us to see in the first couple verses as we're here in verses 12, 13, and 14 is that all of us in the Lord's church are united in one body. And as you think about this, as you look at verses 12, 13, and 14, I want you to see that we're all united in one body because we all got into this body in the same way. Now, this morning, most of you came into this building in the same way. Some of you may have come through a side door because you're sneaky. But most of you came through the front door. But there's multiple doors that you can get into this building. But this building is not the church. It's just a physical structure. But the Lord's church only has one door. The Lord's church only has one entrance. What does verse 13 say? For by one Spirit we were What's the word after? What, you have that little word, A-L-L? Not most of us. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's only one way to get into the Lord's church. And everyone must follow that same plan of salvation that culminates in someone being baptized for the remission of their sins so that they can be added to the Lord's church and to His body. And that's the only way that you get into His body. So we are all united in one body because we got there in the same way. Now, as you look, and you might look in verses 12, 13, and 14, how many times, at least five times in just these three verses, at least five times you're going to read this expression, one body, or the body. When we get into Christ in the very same way, we get there and we lose our identity. You know, in Christ, we all identify the same way. I know people out there today say, I identify as this, I identify as that. When you're a Christian, guess how you identify? You identify with Christ. That's all that matters. And you're a part of His body. You're a part of His church. And so look at verse 12. For as the body is one, united, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There's only one body. And we're all united in that one body. For by one Spirit we've all been baptized into what? Verse 13. Into that one body. And He says in verse 13, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or you're a Greek. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or if you're a free person. In Christ, none of that matters. Think about that. The way that we put people into categories today, oh, no, that's a slave, that's a free person. God says those categories don't exist in Christ. There is no us and them in the church. Oh, well, you're of a Gentile background. Well, you're of a Jew. It doesn't matter what your background is in Christ. There is no us and them. There's great danger inside the Lord's church when we start using that terminology. When we start treating individuals as an us and a them, we are drawing lines where God has not drawn lines. There is no us and them in the Lord's church. There is only Christ. And there are only those who belong to Christ, and that's us. And so when we begin looking at this text and we look at the us of the Lord's church, we've got to realize that this text begins by saying all of us are united in one body. But as you keep reading, and we see this in verse 13, but as you keep reading in verse 15 and following, you see that all of us are being united in one body are unique in our own ways. Isn't that true? Look around at everybody. Look at the unique members that make up this church. And so look at how he describes this. And I'm going to put all of these up here because I want us to get on to these other points here. But he lets us know that all of us, while we're united in one body, we're not the same. We're all united. We've all lost our identity. We all belong to Christ, but we're not all the same. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Well, is it really not of the body then? And if the ear should say, verse 16, well, because I'm not of an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Is that the case? We're not all the same, are we? Your body parts. He's drawing this comparison between the human body and Christ's body. Your body parts are not all the same. But aren't you thankful that you have ears and eyes? Aren't you thankful that you have hands and feet? Aren't they useful? We'll talk, that's our next point. We'll get into that. But each part of your human body is unique. Each part of your spiritual body, the church, is unique. What's the function of this church? The function of this church is not to continue necessarily to flex our differences and to point out our differences, but to get into Christ, to get into His one body, and to use ourselves for the good of the body. To do what we can. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, what if all of us were the very same person? What if this congregation was made up of Lawrence Williams and we were all Lawrence Williams? What if this whole congregation was Elizabeth Carter's and that everybody was Elizabeth Carter? What would that church look like? But no, we're not all the same. And so what we've got to do, verses 17, 18, and 19, is we've got to use our uniquenesses to contribute to the good of the body. Isn't that what your physical body does? Your eye contributes. Your ears contribute. Your hands contribute. Do they all contribute in the same way? Well, no, because they're all different. But they all contribute to the good of the body. No matter what you do in the Lord's church, no matter how big a task you take on, no matter how small a task you take on, inside the Lord's church, we are all trying to contribute to the good of, not me, the Lord's church. Not you, the Lord's church. And so there were people this morning, and I don't know who it is right now, this month is doing it. There were people this morning who prepared the Lord's Supper. You probably didn't even think about that this morning, but there were people who prepared the Lord's Supper. Whoever it is, thank you. There are people in a rotation who prepare that each month so that every Lord's Day we can sit here and partake of the Lord. What are they doing? They're contributing to the good of the body. There were teachers up and down these hallways at 9 o'clock this morning. They prepared lessons. They studied the Bible. Many of them so that they could step into these classrooms down this hallway and teach children about Jesus. Teach children about what Jesus did for them. I don't know who those teachers are right now. Thank you. Thank you for giving of yourselves so that our children can build their faith. What are they doing? They're contributing to the good of the whole body. There are some of you who called some of our widows this last week to check on them. There are some of you who wrote cards to some of our visitors this last week to tell them thank you for coming. There are things that all of us can do, maybe behind the scenes, maybe not out there in front of everybody, that all of us can do that contribute to the good of the body. We all have unique abilities. Not all of us can do every task that's there in the Lord's church, but all of us can do something in our own unique way. All of us, not them, us, are united in one body. We have uniquenesses, but those uniquenesses are to be used to contribute to the good of the body. And so that brings us into this third point of all of us are to be useful to the body. Can I ask you this morning, are you useful to the Lord's church? Let me ask it a different way. Are you using your abilities and your talents for the Lord's church? Are you? Look at what this text says. This text tells us that all of us are needed in the church. Verse 20. And now indeed there are many members, and yet there's one body. And so, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. There's not a single person in this church that can look at somebody else and say, I don't need you. God says we all need each other. Why? Because we are all useful to the Lord's church in some capacity. And somebody says, well, I don't know if all of us are useful. Look at what he says. Look in verse 22. No. Look, the first word in verse 22 is amazing. No. Can one person say to another person in the church, I have no need of you? What's the answer in verse 22? No. What does that mean? We all have need of each other. No, much rather. Those members of the body, look in verse 22, what does he say? Those members of the body which, does he say those members of the body who are weaker? Is that what he says? He doesn't say those members of the body who are weaker. He says those members of the body who seem to be weaker. Doesn't say that they are weaker, but maybe in just our evaluation, we think that they're weaker. Maybe they're not as visible in what they're doing for the church as other people. Maybe what they're doing is not as noticeable to the whole church. Well, they're not doing, and so they might seem weaker. Guess what? He says about them in verse 22, those who may seem to be weaker are what? The end of verse 22. They're necessary. They're needed in the church. Not just those who seem to be weaker. Verse 23, those members of the body which, does he say those members of the body which are less honorable? Is that how he describes them in verse 23? Some of you are looking at me instead of looking at your Bible app. Does he say that it's those who are less honorable? No. He says it's those that we think are less honorable. Are they? No, he's not saying they're less honorable. It's just people we think that are less honorable. Maybe they don't have those tasks in the church where they're standing up in front of the church. Maybe their names don't appear in the bulletin with various things that they are doing. And yet God says, what they're doing may seem to be less honorable. That's not the case at all. Look at what he says in the rest of that verse. On those we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts, those have greater modesty. What's his point here? His point here is that every single person in the church is useful in some way. And it's not up to us to say, well, they seem to be weaker. Oh, I think they're less honorable. God says, that doesn't matter what they seem to be. We need to treat every person in the Lord's church as somebody who is needed. You see the word that's capitalized on that last sentence? We need to treat everybody in the church as that, as individual who is needed and wanted. Do you do that? One of our secretaries, June Pack, was out in the lobby this morning passing out new church directories, our new church album, family album is what we call it. Some of you, members of this church, who get email, you receive that by email on Friday. A new edition where we have up-to-date information on members of this church and their pictures, where we have pictures, their addresses and phone numbers. And that's just for this congregation. We don't pass those out to our guests or to individuals who come by and just want a copy. It's our family album. It's just for members of this congregation. But do you ever use that? Do you ever go through that to let people know in there that they are needed and that they are wanted? Our responsibility is to use ourselves in the Lord's church to see others as useful, and we are going to be held accountable in verse 25 to make sure that we don't do anything to create division, that there should be no schism in the body. God wants all of us united together in one body. God sees all of us as unique members with unique abilities from unique backgrounds, but he puts all of us together to say, you know what? Inside of the Lord's church, every single one of us are useful. Inside the Lord's church, there's great danger when we start using the terminology of us and them. And as we go through this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God is shouting at us, there is no reason for you to talk about us and them. Don't divide the church into categories. In fact, verse 25 says there shouldn't be any division in the Lord's church. All that matters is, do you belong to Christ? That's what makes you us. But you pick up at the end of verse 25, and you go down through verse 27. And he talks about the fact that all of us are responsible to the body. And not just responsible, we are all uniformly. We all have equal responsibility inside of this body. So you get down to the end of verse 25, and he not only says that we should not have any division in the church, the beginning of the verse, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Do you care for members in this church? Do you have the same care for the members of this church that you would have even for yourself? It's interesting that he drops that little phrase in here. He's been talking about we're all a part of the same body. We got in that body the same way through baptism, that we all have unique abilities that need to be used inside of the Lord's church to build up the Lord's church. And then he says to each of us, our responsibility is to have the same care for one another. The word that's used there for care, it's an interesting word. It's the same word that's used over in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 6, where it says, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious is the same word we have here. When I think about my responsibility to care for each other, first thing it involves is it involves my emotions. If I'm going to care for my brethren, it's got to involve my emotions. I've got to have feelings for them, even some concern for them and their well-being. That same Greek word is used over in Luke chapter 10 when it talks about the Good Samaritan, how he took that Jew who had been beaten and laid there on the road for dead, And he brought him to the end. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 35, that he took care of him. If we have care for each other, it's got to involve our emotions. It's got to involve our hearts. But the Samaritan had more than just emotions for that man. He took action. He did something about it. We've got to get involved. We all have and that word same that's used there, the same care for one another, indicates that the responsibility we have is uniform inside of the Lord's church. We've got to take care of each other. It involves our emotions. It involves our actions. Verse 26 says, it involves our reactions. Verse 26, if one member suffers, what do all the other members do? Oh, man, I'm so glad I'm not you right now. I'm glad you're going through that and not me. Is that what it says? Is that what your hand does when you get up at night and you stub your little toe because you don't turn any lights on because you're trying to stay asleep as you're walking to the restroom and back? When you stub your little toe, does your hand laugh at your little toe? I'm so glad I'm not down there. I'm up here and I don't stub my... Is that what your hand does? No. Does your hand reach down and start smacking and pounding and punching your toe and say, how dumb can you be that you stub yourself every night? Is that what your hand does? No. Your hand gets down there and it holds on to the toe and it caresses the toe and it tries to make the toe feel better. That's what this verse says we're supposed to do in the church. If one member suffers, what do the rest of us do? Our emotions and our actions and our reactions kick in. But what if one of the members is honored? What if one of the members, verse 26, is honored? What do the rest of them do? Oh, he doesn't deserve that. Why didn't I get that? That's not fair. No, they don't know anything. If one member of the body is honored, what do the rest do? They rejoice with him. We've got a uniform responsibility in the Lord's church to care for one another, to look out for one another. And that little pronoun, one another, is an expression that's used throughout the New Testament to say, when you are added to the body of Christ, you become a part of His one another family. You become a part of the one another family. So I would encourage you sometime, maybe you can do this afternoon, is just look up one another in your New Testament. Use your Bible app. You know, not the Facebook app or the Instagram app, the Bible app. Just look up one another and read through the few dozen passages that are going to talk about one another. And here's only five of the couple dozen that are there. But inside of the Lord's church, we've got a one another responsibility. We've got a responsibility to love one another. What does that mean? Hebrews 10 and verse 24, we have a responsibility to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Are we mindful, those in this church? When you get the bulletin emailed to you every week, or when you pick it up out here and you look on page 4 and you see those who are on our prayer list, do you consider one another? When you get your bulletin and you see those who are involved in various activities, are we considering one another in order to stir up love and good works? Are we like those who, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, some translations are going to say honor one another. Some translations are going to say we need to give preference to one another. It's either the New American Standard or the ESV, I can't remember which one it is right now, that in that verse says we need to outdo one another in showing honor. Do we do that? We're in the one another family. Do we give preference to each other? Are we serving one another in love, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13? Are we exhorting one another and encouraging one another, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11? Are we praying for one another, James 5 and verse 16? We're a part of the family. We've all been baptized into the family of Christ. We're a part of the us. And as the us, we have a uniform responsibility to each other inside of the body. And there is no place for us in this church to talk about us and them. There's no room for that. There's only place inside of the Lord's church to talk about us and our responsibility to each other. The last thing I want you to see in this text is that as you read through this beginning, and we started in verse 12, but actually if you back up into verse 11 and you read down through verse 11, verse 18, verse 24, and verse 28, what you're going to see is that this body was not something that we created. That this body is not something that we came up with. And when it comes to this body, we're not even the ones who put people in to this body. All of us have been unilaterally set inside of this body. Now, don't misunderstand the word unilaterally. It doesn't mean that you don't have a say in whether you're a part of this body. But what it means is that God is the one who sets people in the body and not you. You know, the Bible never talks about casting a vote, whether you think somebody should be a part of the body or not. That's not anywhere in the Bible. The Bible says God added to the church daily those who are being saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. But I want you to see three times. Look at verse 18. Three times. But now God has set the members, each of them in the body. How did he do it? Just as he pleased. Who put people in the body? God did. Look in verse 24. Our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body. He put it together. That word composed there talks about something being intricately put together with all the pieces and the parts. God composed the body. He put it together just as he pleased. Then down, look down at verse 28 when he begins to talk about those who were appointed in the church with various miraculous gifts. How were they appointed? God has appointed these in the church. Who's responsible for the church? Who's responsible for the placement of us inside of the church? When we talk about being united in the church and being unique members of the church and being useful and having a uniform responsibility, who put you there? God did. It's his body. It's his church. It's not ours. Doesn't belong to us. And so our responsibility in the church is not to separate us into categories and say, oh, well, that's them over there. You know, that's what they're like. No, we're a part of the us. And our responsibility as a part of the us is to fulfill the purpose that God has for his church. Verse 18, God put each member in the body as he pleased. When you were baptized into Christ, when you followed the plan of salvation that's given to us in Scripture, and you followed it in the order, in the way that God outlined it in Scripture, and don't close your notes because I'm going to add one more point up here that you need to write in your notes. But when you followed the plan of salvation that's outlined for us in Scripture, and you were added by God to His church, verse 18 says, God put you, set you, placed you in the church, and it pleased him to do it. You brought God pleasure when you obeyed the gospel, and he said, now I get to put him inside of my body. There's no us and them inside the body of Christ. There's only Christ and those who belong to Christ. And so as I think about this last point, about God setting each one in the church as he pleases. So think about this last point, that there is no us and them in the church. I want to share one last thought with you. And that is that there is no place in the Lord's church to talk about the elders as them. I think sometimes there's a tendency in the church to talk about the elders and what they do and what they think and what they said, and we put the elders into a them category. Well, they're just not really thinking like the rest of us are. And I would challenge you to check yourself. To check yourself and to see, have I put the elders in an us and them category? You know, the Bible says that elders are appointed by God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It doesn't mean that God pointed down and he selected them and just without any say at all that this person was appointed. But when a church follows the plan of God for His church, when the church follows the qualifications that God has given for elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, it is God who is the one who appoints them and places them as He pleases, as elders, shepherds, as overseers of the Lord's church. And our responsibility is to love them. Our responsibility, I've got 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7 up there, and you may wonder why I have it up there. The description that's given of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7 is that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Second one in the list, love believes all things. What does that mean? It means I give the benefit of the doubt. Wives, you know what you need to give to your husbands. Husbands, you know what you need to give to your wives? The benefit of the doubt. Fellow Christians inside the body of Christ, you know what you need to give to each other? The benefit of the doubt. Members of Palm Beach Lakes, you know what we need to give to our elders? At the very least, we're going to talk about more than this, but at the very least, you know what we need to give to our elders? The benefit of the doubt. There may be times where you don't understand some of the things that the elders do, some of the things they say. I guarantee you there are things that our elders know about situations that we don't know. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. Doesn't mean that everything that they're going to do or say is going to be absolutely perfect. But do we love them with agape love, with the love that God wants us to have for everyone? That we look at them and we believe the best in them. We hope all things. We believe the best in them. And we believe that they have this church the foremost of their minds. Our responsibility as Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul tells Timothy, do not receive an accusation against an elder unless it's at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And he's talking about something sinful here, and that's what he's talking about in the very next verse. But he says, don't receive an accusation against an elder. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you believe what the elders did? Can you believe what the elders... What, you know what you need to do? I will not receive an accusation against an elder. That's what that verse tells you to do. You know what it implies? Not only should I not receive an accusation against an elder, I should not make an accusation against an elder. That shouldn't be me. You know, over the years, our elders have tried various things to try to encourage us. They've had various events. They've scheduled various activities for the church. They've reached out to the members of this church in various ways, and cards, letters, calls, text messages. And sometimes there's individuals when they see the elder's name on a caller ID or a text message, or they get a card or something from them, that they automatically have certain ideas or thoughts that come to mind before they ever read the words. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We ought to love them, never receive an accusation, never make an accusation. But look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says in verse 12 about our elders that we must respect them. We need to respect them. And the role, it's not us and them. It's not us against the elders. We need to respect them. And verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, we need to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Do we do that? Do we esteem our elders very highly in love for their works' sake? Again, nobody's saying that our elders are perfect. But guess what they're doing? They have taken on a task of shepherding sheep. Would you do that? Well, it depends on how much it pays. Guess how much it pays to be an elder? Guess how much our elders make every year for being an elder? Guess how many dollars they are paid by this church for being an elder? Are you paying attention? Have I given you the answer to all of those questions? They volunteer. And for their work's sake, they're shepherding a bunch of stubborn sheep. That's me and a few of you, to try to get us to heaven. And so Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, obey them and be submissive to them. Do we do that? We don't like the word obey today. God put it in the Bible. Obey them, be submissive to them. Why do we do that? We do that. We submit ourselves to them as to those who must give an account. What do we do? Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. What's their work? Trying to shepherd us to heaven? What are they going to do when this world is over? We need to submit to them as to those who must give an account. Did you know the elders are going to have to give an account for you to Jesus? They're going to have to give an account for me to Jesus. There's no room for me to put an us in a them with my elders. As those who must give an account. The rest of that verse says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Our job as sheep is to make the work, for their work's sake, to make the work of the elders joyful and not grief-ful. And so as we think about the us and them mentality that our world has, as we think about the fact that our world wants to categorize people and divide people into different categories, when we get inside the Lord's church, guess what the Lord says? No place for that. Verse 25, no schism, no division in the body. But inside the Lord's church, guess what we all are? We are all us. We have unique abilities, unique talents, unique backgrounds, and that's what's needed so that we can be useful, to take responsibility, and to fulfill the place that God has put us in the church. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you a part of the us? Are you a part of the us that's described in this book as the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood? You know, the Bible says that Jesus came and said, I'm going to build my church. There's just one of them. And he purchased that church, just one of them, with his own blood. And he established that church, just one of them, there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And how did people get to be a part of that church? In exactly the way we read it there in Acts chapter 2. They had faith that Jesus was the Son of God. They were told to repent of their sins, to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. They confessed their faith in Jesus, and they were baptized into Christ. They were commanded to be baptized in Acts 2 and verse 38 to be forgiven. And they did exactly what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. They were baptized into one body. You know, there's various religious groups who baptize for various reasons today and into various organizations. But Ephesians chapter 4 says there's one baptism. And when you are baptized with that one baptism, it makes you a part of that one body that Jesus put on this earth. And God takes his pen, as it were, and he enrolls you into the book of life. Have you ever done what the Bible says to become a part of the Lord's church? The Bible says once you're a part of it, that you just continue to walk faithfully with your Savior, with your Lord, for the rest of your life, walking in the light as he is in the light, and he keeps on forgiving you as you do that. If you're not where you need to be with Christ today, why not get right with him today? Why wait another day? Get right with him right now as together we stand and sing.